Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26, blessings and woes. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed of you are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you who, when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are wed-fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. I'm going to put this back over here. Nope, not your fault. Yeah, Marcia, it's almost like elevator music. It's almost like, yeah, you're standing in an elevator and it's just kind of, yeah, background elevator music. I like it. I like it. Marcia has lots of time with us left. Couple things I'd just like to say briefly. Couple things I very much admire about Marcia. And the first thing is I've never met anyone who loves the local church like Marcia does. And so I very much admire her deep love for the local church and this church, but the United Methodist Church, that connection in general, like all of it. And the second thing is I deeply admire Marcia's ability to see fringe people, to see people that are sometimes not always seen by us and by others. Marcia sees them. And that's a tremendous ministry and a value to people. So that's all I'm going to say about that. We're not going to do that. We're not going to get too much. Like she said, we're moving on. But just something I wanted to say. Okay, we're going to talk about Jesus now that we've talked about Marcia. Let's talk about Jesus. Talk about Marcia first, and we'll hop on to Jesus. Right, before she found Jesus, because we wouldn't be saying the same things we just said, would we? No, but because of Jesus. Before we talk about Jesus, I want to talk about superheroes. Let's talk about superheroes. I remember a cartoon when I was younger. Maybe you remember this cartoon. It was called Super Friends. The Super Friends. The Super Friends are basically the heroes off of DC Comics. Those are Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Robin, Aquaman. You know, those are kind of who's listed there. I remember a particular episode. This episode was based on a particular comic book. The comic book was Superboy number 68. Do I have any old Superboy comic book collectors here today? Got some. The Superboy number 68 came out in 1958. And the Super Friends cartoon in the 80s kind of worked off of this theme, right? And they did. And the theme is all about Bizarro World. You remember Bizarro World? It's all about Bizarro World and Bizarro Planet. And on Bizarro Planet, everything's backwards. Everything's different. The Bizarro superheroes, they're like anti-heroes. And they come to Earth, right? They come from their planet. They come to Earth. And they end up doing bad, unhelpful things. Kind of bad, unhelpful things. Because on Bizarro World, everything's all flipped around. Like, that's how you do good things on their planet, is you do these other things. And so they come here, and the bizarro superheroes are kind of confused why people don't seem to appreciate them. Like, they're doing what they think are all good things, but people don't appreciate the things that they are doing. Weird, right? So today, we have these new superhero movies, right? We've got super graphics, we've got all the things. New plot twist because of science, right? Scientific plot twist, scientific hypothesis. One of the scientific hypotheses is parallel universes. And if you know anything about parallel universe, it's like there are these universes that exist within our universe. And so some of the theories are like we have our cells, and within our cells are these completely different universes. But then also there are universes that exist within our universe. And those universes are all happening simultaneously. The last Spider-Man movie, right? It kind of took this multiverse theme. No Way Home. Quite a title, right? No Way Home. It was so good. It was so good. I loved it. And so what they did was they took the last 15 years of Spider-Man's, right? All these different stars who played Spider-Man. And in the last movie, there was this plot twist where all the different Spider-Mans, basically the stars who played all the Spider-Mans, they all came together in one movie. They all showed up for one movie. And all the different Spider-Mans were all very different, right? And so different things had happened in all the different movies. And so in one movie, Mary Jane, Spider-Man's girlfriend, she had died. But in other Spider-Mans, she was alive. And in other Spider-Mans, he dated Gwen, not Mary Jane. And so the Spider-Man that knew Mary Jane didn't know Gwen. And they fought different villains. And there were other villains that didn't even show up, right? And there were different heroes that showed up. And so each Spider-Man, as they're talking about the universe they came from, is a bit confounded by the other's reality. Kind of like, wow, that's very different. That's not what happened where I was at. This morning, I'm going to hit you with a new idea, right? A new idea, combining new scientific hypothesis with ancient scriptural beliefs. Jesus might actually be from the multiverse. Right? He might be from the multiverse. Maybe he came from a parallel universe. Maybe that's where he came from. Because he ascribes to things much different from us. Not the same as us. He strongly believes some things that tell me he may not be from here. Right? In fact, he even claims to be from somewhere else, not here. But before we get to that, I'm going to get to that, but before we get to that, I want to set this passage up for us, right? Because today we're in Luke chapter 6. I want to say last week we were in Luke chapter 5, but it was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago we were in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 6 has the same feel as Luke chapter 5. Jesus doing usual Jesus things. And so in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus starts preaching from synagogue to synagogue, like a pastor going from church to church to church. And he's traveling. He travels from Nazareth to Capernaum, but then Jesus starts the outdoor venue thing, right? The crowds get bigger and bigger, and so he moves them outside. And so last 2 weeks ago, he was at Lake Gennesaret, and he calls Simon Peter, who's one of his first disciples, to be one of his disciples. And so the beginning of chapter 6, Jesus is beginning to make enemies with the Pharisees. Not his closest friends, right? They're wondering where he's from, too. Where is this Jesus from? Now, if you caught the Super Bowl halftime show, and I know many of you did catch the Super Bowl halftime show, the Pharisees think that Jesus, he's not like us, right? If that was the theme song there, is he's not like us. He's different, for sure. And the Pharisees are like, we don't know that we're a fan, either, of this Jesus. And so Jesus is on the move, beginning in chapter 6. He full listed the disciples. Here's all the disciples' names, and it's a big list. Like, it's a growing list. It's a growing group. And so our passage is at a location where he is now drawing both Jewish and a Gentile crowd, which is a different deal. It's probably throwing the Jewish folks a bit. The Gentile crowd, specifically, they're from the coastal communities, and the names that were listed was Tyre and Sidon. And they're Phoenician people. They were the Phoenicians. In the Old Testament, their ancestors were the Canaanites. That was their ancestors. You might recall the Promised Land. The Promised Land had a name before the Jews came into it, and the name was Canaan. It was Canaan, home of the Canaanites. So Jewish people hanging out with Canaanite people, like basically all the Jewish ancestors tried to kill all the Phoenicians' ancestors. So as you can imagine, a little different for them to hang out together and to do this. Normally not crowds that mix. But here's the thing. Here's why. Jesus is healing. And it's real interesting the way Jesus is healing. The way he's healing is different from other ways that he is healed. Verse 19 says, power was coming from him and healing them all. It was coming out from him and healing them all. Almost like Jesus is this power conduit. He's a conduit. And the Greek word for power there is dynamis. Dynamis. What does dynamis sound like? Dynamite, right? Because that's the stem of it. That's where it comes from. And so Jesus, dynamite power emanating from him, healing. So Jesus, all his new disciples, having a big day. Big day, right? Now, what happens next is not very well detailed out for us. Like, it would be great to have a little more information here. I'm not really sure what exactly the scene looks like, but the passage says Jesus, looking at his disciples, begins to teach them. He's saying these things to his disciples, just to them. Not everyone, not the crowd, just disciples. Maybe the crowd can hear, maybe the crowd can't hear. And it's here that we begin to get a sense, again, that Jesus might be from bizarro world. Jesus might be from a parallel universe. He must not be from our universe because of the things that he says. He says these things. He says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. That should sound odd to you. That should sound odd to you. And I want you to know that it sounded odd to them as well. They were thinking the same thing. You see, with Jewish people, they thought, blessed are the rich. Blessed are the rich, because after all, they've received God's blessing. Like Abraham and David and Solomon and Joseph and even Job. Like, Job was afflicted at the beginning. What happens at the end? He gets double what he had at the beginning. He was blessed. Blessed are the poor and the hungry and the sad and the despised. Rejoice if this is you. That didn't make any sense. It goes against our very nature as people. Because after all, we crave money and happiness and approval from others and food. And banks and restaurants and amusement parks and social media, they thrive because of these cravings that we have. We need these things, right? Even as Christians, we can listen to this and think, gosh, that's a bit of a stretch, Jesus. That's a bit of a stretch. But Jesus is from Bizarro World, right? He's from Bizarro World. He's from a different universe. He keeps talking about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And he says, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. And in the realm of heaven, in the realm of God, where God reigns and rules, God suffices for everyone's needs. All their needs. And so Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. He's saying, look, God can suffice for all of our needs too. For everything that we need. I know you need and you crave and you want money and food and happiness and approval from others. Because you are enslaved to this world. And you are enslaved to your flesh. And Jesus says, let me teach you about freedom through faith. This different thing. Learn to crave, to need, to desire something else. Something different. And so in the Gospel of John, we have to go over to John chapter 6. Jesus says something that might help us indicate what is he saying here? What is he talking about? And it says this, it says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. And when he said this, people thought, where is this guy from? Like, he's got to be from Bizarro World to say something like this. This is just weird. And yet the Gospels still stand. They still teach us to follow after him in this way, to see things differently, to think about life differently. To enter into the kingdom of God now means to live into these bizarro world teachings that Jesus ascribed to. Jesus says, rejoice in that day because great is your reward in heaven when you experience those things. In an interview a long time ago, Rolling Stones magazine, Brad Pitt kind of reflects on his role in the movie Fight Club. And it's all about this man who's living the American dream and yet he's unsatisfied with the American dream. And so Brad Pitt, they're dialoguing. Brad Pitt says this. Here's what Brad says. He says, man, I know all these things are supposed to seem important to us. The car, the condo, our version of success. But if that's the case, why is the general feeling out there reflecting more impotence and isolation and desperation and loneliness? And if you ask me, I say toss all this. We got to find something else. Because all I know is that at this point in time, we are heading for a dead end, a numbing of the soul, a complete atrophy of the spiritual being, and I don't want that. So the Rolling Stone interview guy says back, so if we're heading towards this kind of existential dead-end society, what do you think should happen? And Brad responds, Brad says, look, hey man, I don't have those answers yet. The emphasis now is on success and personal gain. And then Brad Pitt kind of smiles. He says, look, I'm sitting in it. Like, I'm telling you, that's not it. I'm the guy who's got everything. I know. But I'm telling you, once you've got everything, then you're just left with yourself. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It doesn't help you sleep any better. And you don't wake up any better because of it. And folks, this interview was before COVID, right? Like, this was a before COVID interview. It's only gotten worse since COVID. So here's the deal. Maybe Jesus isn't from Bizarro World after all, right? Maybe he's not from there. Actually, maybe Jesus understands us better than we understand ourselves. Maybe that's it. And perhaps Jesus is showing his disciples the path to freedom and to salvation in this life. And he's warning us off of the things that we really are infatuated with that we think we need, but we don't actually need as much as we think we need. Perhaps Jesus is trying to teach his disciples how to have a different appetite, how to hunger for different things in this world, in this life. Stop chasing after money and food and happiness and the approval of others as if you can ever get enough, as if it'll ever satisfy that place in your stomach for it. Truth is, they make poor, poor gods, don't they? Choose dynamite power. Choose the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Choose the bizarro values, because maybe they aren't as bizarro as what we think. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Jesus, thank you for your teachings. They still to this day, we can walk with you our whole life long and we read things like this and it's just like, that's weird. And Lord, if it's weird to us, it's because we have not yet seen. We have not yet seen this life as it really is. And we have not yet seen the hungers and the desires as empty promises never to be fulfilled. And so, Lord, in this time, fill us up with you. Fill us up with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that we might know greatness within us because we know you. Lord, thank you for your presence with us this morning. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.